Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. How are we doing?
We're doing good.
We're doing good, right?
Yeah.
It's May 11th already.
I'm speaking for all of California.
Yeah, I'm speaking for all of California. I think, you know, we're doing good. It's May 11th. Time is flying.
This year already.
Going crazy.
I know. Fast.
Right. It's been an interesting week. Weather's been kind of interesting.
You know, I have to say that I am quite happy that Mr. or Mrs., I don't know, whatever you call her, Spring has... keeps rearing her ugly head and holding on, right?
Right.
Like every time I think, you know, summer's going to grab it away, she comes right back.
That's right.
Right?
Are you saying our friend is on the line?
No.
No, I'm just saying I agree.
I've learned the thumbs up. It took me a second again, but I've learned the thumbs up from behind the booth as an agreement.
That's good. So my name is Nigel.
Hi,
and
Nigel.
And you're James.
I am.
Nigel and James Show. A little bit of a hybrid. So this evening, let's make it a California Adventure District show.
Yeah.
And
we'll
put some politics aside and go back to our roots. And tie it in with what we're doing from a tourism standpoint.
Yeah.
For those listening who are interested, we are starting a new little venture.
Yes. California Adventure District has been around for a little while.
Yeah.
And that remains.
Yep. Working with many of the counties up here, but obviously there's one county that is not involved in tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to change that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Get Shasta County up to speed, which is really good.
With the rest of California and
the
counties.
Yeah, I think we deserve it, right?
Uh-huh.
We're kind of missing the boat, some of the benefits of having a robust.
However, with that said, people may ask why are you doing that? And it's because at some point when you stare at something for long enough, you kind of start to see the gaps, right?
Right.
Like, and so really for something to truly hold water, all the gaps need to be filled.
Right.
And so we are not here to reinvent the wheel, as you have said. We are here to simply fill in the gap and really support, what's going on here?
Right.
In addition,
well, there's so much to do here. We are missing the boat on a few things, and so for the last year or two years, they've been kind of bridging the gap between Shasta County and Humboldt County. Been out to Humboldt a lot,
yeah.
And every time I go to Humboldt, you know, if you've been in Redding for a long time, you already know. If you're new to Redding or new to Shasta County, then there's two towns on the way to Humboldt, to the beach. One's Weaverville and one's Willow Creek.
Yep. There's more than that, but
well,
those two are...
Where there's the stoplight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And
I was going to say, we were just in Weaverville. Was there a stoplight?
Yeah, I think there's
one.
I think there's one stoplight. And so, and every time I drove through Weaverville, I've been there a bunch of times over the last 12 years, but every time I drove through or I'm driving through Weaverville, I'm on Main Street there, which is amazing.
True old-fashioned Americana.
But I'm always thinking to myself, there's got to be something here, like I'm missing something. And we're very, very lucky that Mr. Joel from the Trinity Journal reached out and said, hey, you got to come and check us out.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. So you and I made the trek up to...
And Joel's a character, and you know what? You and I looked at him, I was like, oh, he's not from here, but... The reality of it is he was born and raised in Hayfork and then left and went all over the place, right? And was cultured by all these cities and then came back. And that's why I was like, you know, you could just tell by his clothes. He looked like kind of a, I don't know. He looked like a San Francisco journalist or a New York or whatever. But then when I found out he was from Hayfork originally and he came back to his roots, I was like, wow, that's amazing.
So that was kind of cool. And so, you and I went up, a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great meeting with a great group of people up in Weaverville on Main Street.
To talk about tourism.
And you were very happy because we went through the sleet and snow. And
oh, yeah, I loved it. That was so fantastic.
Right. And so
still have my shorts, and tennies and shirts, t-shirt on.
You're crazy. So one of the gentlemen we met up there is Mr. Scott Watkins. Uh-huh. Mr. Scott, are you here?
He is.
I am.
You are. Welcome to Reading.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Your vocals are being blasted all over the valley.
Yes.
Okay, well, I hope you can hear me all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. So, Scott, you are with the Trinity County Chamber, correct?
That is correct. I was fortunate enough to be trusted with being the president of the Trinity County Chamber.
So you, was that because somebody owed you a favor, or did you just weaseled your way in there?
I think I was... I think I missed a meeting, and so they were just like, okay, that guy's not here, he's the new president.
Yeah, default. All right, so listen, it was great to meet you guys the other day.
Yeah.
And I love what you guys are doing. So why don't you give us a little overview of who you are. Are you from originally from Trinity County?
No, I'm actually from a small town in the Bay Area called Martinez, California.
Okay.
So I'm a transplant.
So how do you end up in an even smaller town called Weaverville?
Yeah, good question. I never thought an urban designer would wind up living on the frontier. Kind of a wild story, but after grad school, I had some time. I was doing some interactive public art down in San Francisco, and a buddy of mine from business school said, hey, I've got a friend with some property in Hayfork. The 2016 election was coming up, and they thought cannabis was finally going to get voted in, and they thought there might be a business opportunity, and asked me to go take a look. And I came up to Hayfork. It was supposed to just be for a couple of weeks, and next thing I know, it's 5 years later.
Oh, wow.
Are you still paying rent on the place you left in the Bay Area then, or what?
No, I'm not. I was living in Oakland, California, and with some friends from grad school, and no. I am not.
All right, cool. So whenever we travel throughout Trinity, and especially Humboldt, where we keep hearing about, and even here in Shasta County, obviously, we keep hearing about the whole cannabis industry. And from what I understand, it's kind of like a good thing and a bad thing that it was legalized. Is that the same thing for Trinity County?
Yeah, I would say so. There was definitely a major green rush starting as far back as 2011, and it picked up a lot of steam, 2015, 2016, and we're just to the point now where we're really looking at the environmental impacts, and that's pretty much what I do these days, is evaluating the environmental impacts of the cannabis industry and ensuring that those impacts are sensitive to the natural communities. So there's good and there's bad. There's certainly quite a bit of economic opportunity, and there's, you know, it's definitely been a struggle with inventing new policies for, you know, a very old industry.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting.
What would you say is the percentage that of, let's say, the economic development of Trinity that is actually based in cannabis?
You know, that's kind of a tricky equation to kind of solve. I was, as a matter of fact, just on a call this afternoon looking at that very thing. And we had some experts from, I think, Alabama and Utah or something. And they were kind of going through all the numbers, and they kept having this little asterisk that said, cannabis is not recognized by the federal government, so really hard for us to evaluate what that impact is. But I would say it's pretty hard to find many folks up this way that aren't touched one way or another, whether directly or indirectly, by the industry. It's pretty prevalent, especially in Hayfork. There's some really great stuff going on, and there's definitely some roads that you probably don't want to go down.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you do, go very fast in a big truck. So can you hold over for the next break?
Sure.
Awesome. So this is the end of the first segment. When we come back, we want to get into the actual business of the chamber and see how you guys
do. I still have a couple questions.
You have a couple questions.
On cannabis, yeah.
Oh,
my mind is like swirling. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So, Scott, hold on, and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel Skeeton, James Mazzotta.
Hello, hello.
Scott, are you still with us?
I am.
Yeah. 10 points if you recognize the song.
You know what that is?
80s Child?
I do recognize
that. All right, good. All right, so we were talking about the cannabis industry in Trinity County.
Yeah.
And my good buddy James has like 700 questions for you. He's going
to
condense
them. I'm going to try to narrow them down. So, of course, I am completely naive when it comes to this whole thing, legal or illegal or however it's working. But, I mean, how is this transformed? I mean, like, if somebody decided that they were going to move from wherever to Hayfork and they wanted to grow and be legitimate, I mean, do you go to some kind of government, a county office, and have to pull permits? I mean, is there, like, you know, land management requirements? Do you have to own land? Can you just use public land? I mean, I just don't understand how all this works.
Yeah, that's a lot of really good questions. You certainly need authorization to cultivate in California's licensed cannabis marketplace. Our firm is actually a really good stop on that journey, so to speak. There's all sorts of different regulations. I call it an ecosystem of regulation that exists out there for the cannabis industry. And long story short, we've developed an assessment tool to look at any property and quickly evaluate whether or not it's going to be eligible for being a cannabis farm.
Okay.
You definitely need permits. Through the planning department, most likely through the building department and others. And it's a process.
Okay.
You know, it's a process you start at that at this point is taking a year, 2 years to get through, depending on the elements of a specific property that you're looking at.
Wow.
And what you want to do on it. It's just like any other entitlement that you get for rezoning your property. If you wanted to open up a cafe and it's in a use or a zoning district that maybe isn't a traditional or a cafe.
Uh-huh.
There's a process for that, just like with anything.
Okay.
So do you find many people moving from Bay Area or other areas specifically to Trinity County to do this?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. A lot of places talk about a brain drain, like all their youth are in brightest and best are moving away from their town. I actually see a major influx happening. There's a lot of folks coming from all over the world, not just the Bay Area or, you know, Southern California, Los Angeles, but from the East Coast, from Florida, from all over. And that's because there are a few elements of Trinity County that you just can't replicate, even on the indoors. There's the elevation and a bunch of science stuff that, honestly, I really don't understand. With elevation, clean air, clean water, and some other things like that, it just grows differently up here. And it's unique, and it's world class.
It's probably what makes the trees so magical there too, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's why so many people actually claim to see Bigfoot, because the cannabis is so good.
Yeah.
So what about the rest of the industry in Trinity County? Like, are you seeing a growth or an influx of people in general into Trinity County from a Chamber of Commerce standpoint?
Yeah, there is quite a bit of growth, and there's a lot more than simply cannabis going on in Trinity County. Looking at just the events happening around the community, show that in spades, so to speak. There's farmers markets. There's the Trinity Heritage Day that's happening on May 21st, really celebrating the sort of the frontier days of Trinity County's past. There's a peddler's fair coming up on June 4th. There'll be a lot of small businesses there with their goods. There's an event called Funkin' at the Junction that's going to be a great all-day music festival on June 18th. And so with these different community events, and I can't forget the 4th of July. You said the old Americana. The 4th of July in Weaverville really is
the quintessential. Quintessential 4th of July.
Really cool. So, we're building sort of commerce around these major annual and seasonal events. And, folks come up and maybe they come for the 4th of July, but they get a hold of the fishing guide, the Trinity Fishing Guide, and go for a fishing trip. And then come into town and do the 4th of July celebrations. There's just all sorts of stuff going on. There's the LaGrange Classic Bicycle Competition happening June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
For all the mountain bike enthusiasts, there's going to be a ton of stuff happening the weekend of June 11th. Tons of good food, lots of music in the park. First Saturdays in Weaverville's got music in the park and an art walk happening. All the businesses in downtown Weaverville are open, and you can check out a lot of really great art, wide spectrum of art, painting, smaller stuff.
So I did notice, because we kind of look at the tourism numbers on a semi-regular basis, and obviously California as a whole took a big dive in 2020 because of COVID, and some of the counties made like half a comeback to what their 2019 levels were. Some areas are dead, like the San Francisco Bay Area. I mean, I think they're down, I don't even know how much percentage, and I don't think they're going to recover. But Trinity County was one of the very few counties that actually in 2021, Trinity County surpassed their 2019 tourism numbers. Dollars coming into the community. Is that something that you, that was obviously probably not planned, because I don't know if anybody could have planned 2021. But were you surprised to see that in Trinity County?
Not really. It's so remote. The Trinity Alps Wilderness area is really remote, and given the conditions that the rest of the world has been in over the last couple of years, I think a lot of folks were looking to get out and about and go somewhere new. And I think there's like 600 miles of trails in the Trinity Alps Wilderness.
Yep.
That's amazing.
And there's something for everybody. There's mountain biking, there's motorcycles, hiking, horses, tons and tons and tons of mountain biking.
So
Weaver Basin Trail System.
Yeah. One of the things we noticed through the California Adventure District is people were searching for how to get off the grid. And I would say Trinity County exemplifies how to be off the grid if you really want to be, right?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So how about you? Do you personally go out hiking, biking, fishing, trailing? What do you actually partake of the wilderness out there?
Yeah, my wife and I love the East Weaver Trail System. There's a campground out there, so you can kind of set up a base camp and do a few different loops. We like going out to some of the trails along the Trinity Lake.
Mm-hmm.
The trails are right at the lake's edge. The Tannery Gulch campground is one of our favorites. But since we have a three-year-old the last couple of years, we have been slowed down. And, what we look for in that outdoor experience has evolved, as it naturally would with any new parents. And that's one of the great things that we found is You know, there's stuff for the real adventure seekers and the hardcore hiking up in the Alps. There's also a lot of really great facilities for young families. Lakeview Terrace Resorts up by the lake is a really great example of that. The Lewiston Hotel in Lewiston. There's lakes all over the county, and I hear folks from Reading, they say, you know, we've got lakes, we've got hiking. Mm-hmm. And I hear that, you know, there's some really great spots in Reading. But, you know, when you're ready to do something new, for a new challenge, I think that Trinity County's here, and they've got great facilities. The Trinity Trail Alliance is doing great upgrades on the trail systems out there, the Watershed Center in Hayfork. There's a lot of really great stuff going on in this community.
And I'm
proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, and realistically, I mean, when we went up there yesterday, I think that's just me because I'm not a huge fan of driving, but the drive was nothing. I mean, it really...
And it's a beautiful drive.
And it's a beautiful drive, yeah. I mean, when I saw the mileage on the sign and I thought, that's really as far... I mean, that's it. It just, you know, obviously it takes a little longer because it's windy, but, you know, it's not more than just driving to, like, Red Bluff for us. And so, to me, I just have to get past that mental barrier. But once you kind of do that... You know, to go to Weaverville and experience your incredible, you know, lovely, true, authentic Americana downtown and be able to have access to so many things literally right off of that road, you know, I mean, I love Reading and there's tons to do here too, but, you know, it is nice to actually go out and explore your very close neighbor like that and see what they have to offer. And, you know, and forgive me, maybe you guys can help me, but where we were when we met, the store there was fantastic.
Yeah, well, we have Ryan. She's coming on.
Oh, is she? Yeah, okay,
owner
good.
Of the store. She's coming on.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great store and great lunch, and I was just like, this place is cool. I mean, it was close enough to just drive up and have lunch and do something, shop, and come home.
And so we kind of got the vibe too. With the people at the meeting that there's definitely a pride, right, of Weaverville and Trinity County, and a desire to see some, growth is kind of a weird word, but I noticed that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of really great community events going on, and everyone's rallying together and working collaboratively to create very inviting, opportunities for folks to come on up and have some fun.
If you were to list maybe from a visitor and a tourist standpoint some things that are missing or that are opportunities, like if somebody's listening and, you know, they're a millionaire, a billionaire, and they go, they're looking for something to do, something to put some money in.
A billionaire.
Whatever. Well, there's a bunch of those now.
Yeah, I know.
You know, what would you say that Weaverville is missing?
More lodging. I'd say that there's really great campgrounds. There's tons of camping up here. But we could really use a new hotel. I actually did speak with a billionaire not too long ago who was looking in Lewiston at putting in a hotel. And I think that that's a great opportunity. I think it's something that could be very successful.
Yeah, I would agree.
So would you be the guy to talk to if we run into a billionaire tomorrow or next day?
Sure. I think I'm a good starting spot, and I'll help you out until you can find somebody better.
That's very good. So you moved up there 5 years ago. Right? And
yep.
So we have 1 minute left. So do you see yourself having been, are you like planted now? Green intended. Are you like, is this your home?
You know, I'm not sure what the future holds, but I'm definitely enjoying the ride while I'm on it.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Scott Watkins, thank you very much. How can people reach you?
They can give me a call or they can check out our website. Our company is called Bilderberg, Bilderberg.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be pretty easy to find, or you can just run into me around downtown Weaverville.
That's right.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you very much, my
friend.
Thank you. And we look forward to coming up there again soon.
You bet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, I think we may have our next guest on the phone, or
we'll
should be calling in shortly.
She's calling in.
Oh, she's calling in now. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll talk to you when we get right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel Skeet and my good friend, James Mazzotta.
Cohort.
Yeah, cohort. Nigel and James Radio Show. We're doing a California Adventure District version of the show tonight, which is great. And we've been talking about Weaverville.
Our great
and
little trip.
Right, we had a great time.
Thelma and Louise.
Kind of like one of those secret places, quiet places that's easy to get to from Reading.
Yeah, when we left, you said... It's, you know, James, it's 39 degrees up there. And I was like, oh, no, we're fine. And as we're driving, it started to hail. And then there was snow on the side of the road.
And you're still wearing shorts.
Yeah, yeah. And I was fine with that. Yes. But I was like, wow, this is so weird.
So I've met some really cool people up there lately.
You have.
And we went up the other day. And we had a great meeting. And
we did.
One of the people we met is Ryan Crockett. Ryan, are you on the line?
I am here.
Hello,
welcome.
Ryan.
How are you, Ryan?
Good. How are you, gentlemen?
That's
good.
Awesome. So, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for grilled cheese, anything grilled cheese.
And I love grilled cheese, too, but I didn't really know how much I liked grilled cheese until after our trip.
Well, who doesn't love a bougie grilled cheese?
Oh, my gosh, that's right. So good.
So, one of the biggest celebrities of the California Adventure District is, of course, Bigfoot. Mm. So... I was very happy to see the Sasquatch grilled cheese on your menu.
Yes.
That was definitely an easy no-brainer when I went to make the menu. Yeah. I had to naturally pull the characters among us up here.
I get it.
So yeah. Sasquatch was easy in the first pick.
So, Ryan, why don't you give us like a little summary of
Shakedown,
who
breakdown.
You are, where you're from, and how you ended up on Main Street in Weaverville.
Okay, got it. So originally born and raised in Sutter County, my husband's Yuba County. We transplanted up here in 2015 for his job and went to school or went to work at my kid's school, got a job there, everything fine, life was great, and then COVID hit and we all got sent home. I had to go home and be with my children every day, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. This is not for me. I'm not this type. So ever since we had moved in 2015, I always thought, man, town just needs a really nice big ice cream shop. It's just crazy. We don't have one. And so when COVID hit, you know, so many people kept putting the little thought towards me, and then finally I thought, well, if I can grab one of these really cute little buildings on Main Street here, I'll make it happen. And sure enough, the cutest little spot was open, grabbed that up, and then have been selling ice cream like crazy ever since.
Well, and ice cream is just a plus for your location. I mean, after visiting you and obviously meeting you, you're absolutely delightful and such a warm host, and but you have a store that's attached to it, and I likened it to the Enjoy store, which I have. I feel like it's almost like a sister store, you know, up there.
Exactly.
In feel and thought and, you know, that kind of thing. So you have a beautiful store with tons and tons of really cool merchandise, some local, some from American Fair, from all over, and You've got great, you know, hats and shirts and, you know, handmade jams and all that kind of stuff. And then, lo and behold, when I was, you know, going through the place, I thought, this place is great. And then, of course, obviously, you had the ice cream. But you guys also just recently opened up a food section or a small restaurant, which you were saying was being pushed heavily by tourism, that you, you know, line out the door sometimes for people for ice cream, but people are clamoring for, like, you know, just some more traditional foods. And you've done an amazing job at that, too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we sell a lot of ice cream here. We, our ice cream comes from a distributor in Reading, and they cannot believe how how much we're selling up here. They're like, you've got to sell more ice cream north of Chico. You know, you're definitely in the top five ice cream shops north of Chico selling, you know, volume-wise. So, yeah, we would get a lot of tourists stop downtown and come in and go, oh, I'm looking for real food. And I would always say, well, we don't have that. And they would always say, well, I might be back. And I thought, well, I don't like that word, might be back. Right. So when the spot next to us came available, the building owner offered it. And, of course, you know, I had no intention to ever put real food in. But, man, it's been popular ever since we opened.
Yeah.
And it's doing really well.
And you have a limited menu, but it's well within, you know, most people's wheelhouses
and
choices.
Yeah, but you could live off of that every day.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean that specifically. I mean, you were talking, and that's where we were trying to lead to, is you have a whole, you know, a small menu of gourmet, or as you said, bougie, you know, grilled cheese. But, like, my eyes rolled back in my head. I mean.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I have a couple of girls that work there, and we really worked hard on coming out with something good because, you know, it's grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people won't drive out of their way for grilled cheese, but we made a couple
after
really
that.
Good. Yeah, no, those were pretty good, huh? And so we just made what we liked.
Yeah.
We just made, you know, what was good to us, put it on the menu, and it's becoming, we haven't done a lot of marketing or advertisement for it. We kind of wanted to kind of feel it out for a couple months, make sure we got everything worked out before we went and hit it hard marketing-wise.
Yeah.
But
okay,
it
so
does pretty good. The locals are happy.
So one of the main reasons I picked you out to call in is because when I met Joel, Joel was awesome to reach out, and he said, you got to come and check out Main Street in Riverville and some of the new people that have businesses on Main Street. And so the fact that you moved in during COVID, so what, that makes it 2020 or 2021?
June of 2020. I'm one of four new businesses that opened up during COVID. And speaking on that a little bit further, town or Main Street or downtown Weaverville, from what I'm hearing from other business owners, it was kind of a lull. It was kind of a dry spell that it was experiencing. And when COVID hit, some of the businesses couldn't survive. They packed up and opened up these storefronts for some of the other businesses to come in. Our brewery opened up in the middle of COVID. We got a really cute little arts and crafts store that opened up, and then the Hub, which is like kind of like an internet cafe, opened up downtown Weaverville. And I don't have much to compare pre-COVID to my numbers now, but what I hear from, because I'm always listening about the tourism and the numbers, that tourism was up 300% in 2020, or summer of 2020, because our COVID numbers were so low.
Yeah.
A lot of our families, and we can spot non-locals the minute they walk in the door. So we always strike the conversation. Oh, where are you from? Where are you guys coming from? What are you guys headed? Where are you headed to? It was time after time. It was families coming up from the bigger cities, San Francisco, LA area, that usually hit the Tahoe area for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But because Tahoe was shut down, their numbers were high, they came to this side of the valley.
Yeah.
And a lot of first-time visits in 2020, and a lot of the resorts up there by the lake report that they felt tourism was up 300% comparative. So it was really interesting, and we have just been slammed ever since. And so we try really hard to market outside our area into Shasta County and Humboldt County so that those folks that do pass through make a point to stop.
Yeah.
I think we feel like they do.
Yeah. Before we forget, what's actually, you have a prime location, but what's the name of your store?
It's Up North Confectionery and Mercantile.
Right, okay.
And then recently we just added an eatery to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure where the verbiage comes. But it's mostly Up North, kept it kind of simple, easy to remember. And
when you say Up North, obviously you're up north, but you're at the northern end of the Main Street, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The northwest side.
Northwest,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it seemed like for me when I walked in there, I would have never guessed that it was a fairly new adventure. I mean, it felt like it'd been there forever.
Yeah. So my target is to have that old fashioned country mountain store.
Yeah.
We make homemade fresh waffle cones every day. We may not need to make them. We make them. We get
just
that smell
that
out of
smell,
Main Street.
Yeah. Well, that was the first thing.
Yeah,
you guys take them home.
Like, open the door, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, we play the bluegrass music. We really want to, we're selling an experience
to the
folks that live in the city that come up. This is what they're trying to,
and it totally fits that bill. So congratulations, because that's exactly what I felt when I walked in.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So have you connected with the other businesses on Main Street? Especially the new ones, is there some kind of network of, hey, you're the newbie too?
Yeah, so I recently have started organizing my energy now that the store is up and going and doing its thing. My next parameter is downtown. What do we got to do? We got to figure out how to promote downtown. What are some physical things we can do down here? We've had a tree planted at the bandstand to still a planter. I lined white rockers in front of our store so that folks could sit and rock and look at the Alps. But I have recently reached out to the downtown business and organization owners via email to create some kind of communication and, what can we do to try to promote this place? Our customers are all the same. Everybody's customers are the same. So if we can promote the shoe store and somebody comes up just to buy shoes, then I know they're going to walk the rest of downtown.
Yeah. That's all you need to do is get them to come, or when they're driving through, to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if they if they buy the ice cream and the grilled cheese, they're going to need new shoes to walk it off.
Exactly.
Well, ice cream really is, and I've done a lot of research and study. Ice cream is magic for that kind of environment because it's kind of that nostalgic and old fashioned, and everybody, you stop. Oh, let's get a scoop of ice cream. Right. Once you have it in hand, you want to walk. And,
you
lick your cone or eat out of your cup and you walk up one side and down the other just because you're eating yours. And you get to, it's part of the experience with ice cream.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it's funny because with COVID coming, the two industries that just skyrocketed because of COVID and the lockdowns, one was ice cream and the other was alcohol. And, those two industries, I'm being told, and so we're still feeling the effects. There are still certain limitations on flavors that I can't get because the packaging and because volume is up and the packaging is down, and so we're still feeling the hard hits from the
supply chain
industry just exploding.
Yep.
So you mentioned that there was a period of time where you actually had a line of people around outside the store.
Yeah, so speaking of 4th of July, Weaverville, all of the nonprofits, like our Lions Club, our Rotary Club, our chambers, like all of these nonprofits, pro-tourism, they come together and they throw the biggest four-day-long event. It is huge. It takes 4 days to get it all in. There's fireworks one night. There's a parade one night. They have a rodeo come in. There's even, like, pickleball tournaments and cornhole. So we have a huge crowd of people that come up and just fill town up completely. It's so much so that some of our locals will actually leave town for that weekend because it's just so amazing. It's just inundated with people.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like
and
magic.
So on that, it is. It is your true Hallmark experience, the Hallmark Channel experience up here for 4th of July. And Christmas is another one. Anyway, so for 4th of July, they run the parade down Main Street, and we open early, and the minute the parade is over, a line forms, and it goes down out our door, down and around the corner. and every year so far, I feel like I've prepared for it, and I'm never prepared for it. So we just underwent a huge remodel to prepare for the volume of people.
I have a feeling that this year is going to be crazy. Hey, Ryan, can you hold on for the next segment?
Yeah,
awesome.
For sure.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. This is Nigel, and we've got James, and we're having a good little chat about Weaverville, the new energy that's happening in Weaverville. If you're new to Reading, because we have a lot of new people moving into Reading over the last year or two, and you're looking for a great place to escape to for the day, Weaverville is magic, and it's part of the California Adventure District that we're doing. And some of the new people who've moved in are awesome and doing new businesses, and we have Ryan Crockett. Ryan, are you still on there?
I am here.
And we just got reminded to remind people the name of your business, because, you know, the moment you said ice cream, they want to come.
Yeah, it's Up North Confectionery and Mercantile. And recently we just added the eatery. So we have about 24 rotating flavors of ice cream and a full mercantile with just about everything's U.S. made. We hit the local scene as much as we can, and then we kind of work ourselves out from there. But a lot like James was saying, the Enjoy store, we feel like we kind of represent that local goods store in our town.
Definitely.
So you mentioned when people walk in, you can tell right away that they're visitors or, you know, tourists. So what does one need to wear to not look like a tourist?
It's more or less just the familiar face. Weaverville is such a charming little town that you cannot go to the grocery store without being stopped 20 times to chit-chat with people. you pretty much drive down Main Street or in the whole stretch of town with just your hand up waving. Like, you just know everybody. And so it's just the familiar face when they walk in that we, you know, sometimes I get it wrong, but most of the time we kind of can guess.
There's just something after you've been in retail for a long time, you get it. As I even do it, you know, and Reading is so much bigger than Weaverville, but, you know, there still is that familiar faces. And then you just, they come in and they have a presence. There's just something that, you know, that they have, and you're kind of like, oh, you know, I always ask, I don't recognize you. You live here in Reading? Oh, no. Oh, like, okay, well, I knew that.
So same thing here. So we own the toy store in the Mount Shasta Mall, and Ryan, I believe you've been in the toy store. And so
I sleep with that place,
You know, there's the same thing there. Lots of regulars, and you can always tell when somebody's not from here.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
So how have the locals received your business?
Oh, they loved it. We have our I feel like we see just about everybody in town. I haven't quite met a local in a while that has said, "Oh, I haven't been in here before." Everyone is just constant compliments, and you know, they're very thankful that we're here. Being not from, I mean, I didn't own a shop prior to this, but a lot of people, you know, say, "Oh, you brought some life back downtown. There's kids walking around down here. There's people hanging out." So we're really, you know, happy to be able to bring a little bit of life back down here, downtown here, and kind of get people moving around.
I like the kids' clothing store next door to you, right?
Yeah, Mountain Goat Kids. They're another new shop.
Right, yeah.
So I guess you can say they opened during COVID. They opened last year. Cute little kids shop. It's from infants on up. And they're two moms. They each have three kids. And this is just kind of their little COVID baby, if you want to call it. But it is the cutest little boutique. They carry really high-end things and then, you know, all the way through the affordable things, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, when we had our grilled cheese sandwich, I was trying to get just to communicate a little bit about it. When you say grilled cheese, you know, I just think of a brown piece of bread that's been buttered and some orange cheese on it, right? And then you gourmet it up. Somebody might say, "Oh, I put some avocado or some bacon on it." And that's like, that doesn't even kind of qualify what yours were like. So I don't remember what mine was called, but I had, mine was, I think, two different types of cheese, turkey, and then it had a jam and pesto.
Yeah, yours was, so we have the Sasquatch, which was what Nigel had. We named one the Lumberjack. We also have Smokey Bear. Mm. And then you had the Prospector.
Prospector, that's right.
Which is our newest one that we were just running as a special, and our locals just went crazy for it. So we thought, okay, we got
to
put it on.
Well, and it was hard for me to choose. I let the girl behind the counter choose for me, and she gave me the Prospector, which I was more than happy with.
Yeah,
but I was going to go with the Sasquatch because I love cheese and nuts. And so yours was two different types of cheeses, and then what else was on there? Jam and nuts.
So the Sasquatch is, the Sasquatch is cream cheese, Havarti, brie, huckleberry jam, and pecans. And so the slogan for that sandwich is that Bigfoot picks the nuts and berries.
See, I didn't even care what the ingredients were. It just tasted good.
It was amazing. And then I thought that was it for us, right? And then Nigel said, "I'll be right back. I'm going to get ice cream." And he came back with ice cream, and it was just like as big as my head.
Yeah, we have portion control problems here. We serve... just the everyone complains that our soup sizes are just too big.
How could you complain?
And then we have folks that come up. I know. We have folks that come up from the Bay Area, and they were like, "You're not making any money scooping like this." I'm like, "No, we're fine. It'll be fine." But you know, they're just used for higher prices, and so they just go, "You charge more. You need to charge more."
Yeah.
The other thing I like about what you're doing, and I think there's quite a few people in Weaverville that do this, and I see the same thing in Humboldt. But the fact that you come down to Redding, so it's still local, to buy most of your supplies.
Yeah, so I source what I can, but I still, and I feel like I can speak on behalf of everybody that lives up here, you still have to do your Redding run once a day, once a week, and or more. And it's not, it's literally 45 minutes. You can run down there, pick up some of the stuff you can't buy locally.
It takes longer to run.
yes, it's the Redding run. But every time I hit downtown, I come off, you know, I ride into downtown, and I make that turn in front of the Enjoy store, and I'm like, "Oh, a parking spot's open. I'm coming in." And so I always try to make a point to hit a couple shops, maybe something I haven't been into yet, cruise a little downtown, and then I always stop at an ice cream shop down there too, just because I love ice cream.
Yeah.
even though I can get it for free up here, I still you know, check it out down there. And so yeah, you still have to do your Redding run. I still run down there and pick up a couple supplies. I think I feel like every business.
I'm trying to think as you're saying this, I'm thinking, is there a possibility for somebody to have a business that's just all they do is go back and forth between Redding and Weaverville and pick up for people?
I know, right? I employ mostly high school kids. I like to be their first employer so I can teach them all the good habits. And so I have a lot of local folks that are, you know, they suggest you need to have one of them become an Uber or a Uber Eats.
A Dash or something,
Well, we just have a lot of great eateries.
We just had Scott on from the chamber, so maybe we should have a little chat.
Right.
I'm actually getting ready to go have a meeting with Scott and the Trinity Chamber here. It started.
That's excellent.
Started here shortly. So,
You've been in Weaverville a few years now. So when you come to Redding, does Redding feel like a big city?
No, it doesn't. It still definitely has a small town feel. I'm still learning all the ways to get from one end of town to the other efficiently. But we will, like, you know, we'll go looking for something to do. We'll head down to Redding or go drive around or check out something new. But, no, I definitely don't feel lost like a big city lost in Redding. Oh, I still feel small town there. Yeah. It's a very polite town. Everyone's very, very polite.
Do you ever go the other way, like to Willow Creek and Humboldt?
Yep, we travel, and that's what's a perk about Weaverville is we're 2 hours from the coast, an hour from Redding, 3 hours from Sacramento. We're, like, at the back door of Shasta, Mount Shasta, and, like, 3 hours from Medford. So we hit all those areas often, and we cruise through and always stop in Willow Creek on our way to the coast, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. Again, we, you know, just like Trinity County, I'm sure, but Redding, over the course of the COVID, over the course of a couple of years, a lot of people moved out, but we've had a lot of people move in. So we had a lot of new residents in Redding.
Yeah, lots of new residents.
And we noticed that in the Enjoy Store and people listening. And so one of the things we like to share with the newbies is things to do, right? I mean, you're new to Redding, and what do you do here? And so one of the reasons for the whole California Adventure District is to try and encourage people to stay within our region. And our region is 38,000 square miles, so plenty of room to roam. But a great place to go is Weaverville. And the thing about me now, so I'm over in Humboldt on a pretty regular basis, and I would always drive through Weaverville and go, okay, there's got to be something here. So now I have a place to stop off. And, you know, that's awesome.
Well, definitely for us, my family and I, when if we go over to the coast, that's where we're stopping. We're stopping. I'm excited to say I would stop to get a grilled cheese and some ice cream and then get back in the car and continue.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. We happens a lot. We have a lot of folks that do that.
So now that I'm assuming you're not volunteering at the school anymore.
No, I still go volunteer out there for different reasons and help out. I'm still the PTA involved with that. So I do help out there, and I help out with different events downtown.
Do you do special still ice cream days for the school?
Yes, we do. In fact, the last day of school, one of our businesses, Oakley's Pest Control, buys every kid ice cream that walks in the door on the last day of school. So
that's
a super crazy day.
That's so cool.
And we have a lot of, we do a lot of teachers.
Is there an age limit?
I know, right? We're all kids.
That's great. Awesome.
So, yeah, we do have a... some different fun little things that happen downtown and in the store.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming on.
Yes.
We had a great time up in Weaverville. I'm glad there are some changes going on and that you guys are doing good. How can people find you besides driving up there?
Drive up and get some ice cream. I'm a pretty active on our social media accounts, Instagram and Facebook. We have a TikTok, but I just let the girls that work for me run that, so I can't vouch for its content. But we're just about daily posters, and if there's something fun going
on, we'll
definitely post. It's Up North Ice Cream on Instagram and Up North Confectionery Mercantile on Facebook.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
One of those.
Thank you very much, Ryan, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good
night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.